Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media. We are at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake. Puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Well, we are at the end of October, just about. A couple of bye weeks across the SEC. We have three top 20 matchups within the SEC as well. Got to cover on some big-time news and storylines. One's currently breaking right now, Jake. I'm trying to find out if it's true or not. We're taping this on a Wednesday night. Some potential repercussions from the officiating crew from that Auburn-Georgia game. I'm seeing that some of those guys who wear the stripes might have gotten into some trouble. I will do some digging while we're recording the podcast.
Wow.
First things first, how are you, my man?
Man, doing great. Got a little friendly round of golf today. Man, it was kind of cool today.
Don't say it.
It was a little
Don't
windy. And the leaves were falling. You know, there was a couple borderline gallery drops. There were a bunch of leaves on the ground.
Okay.
I don't know, man. It felt great. Felt great out there. I really enjoyed it. And the shade spots was a little cool. I wore a vest today.
Look at you.
And played pretty. Hey, actually, I holed out from 145 today.
Really? Which hole?
Eagle. It was 9 on the Dudley course.
Oh, sweet. I haven't played the Dudley course yet, but it looks awesome over at
Athens. Yeah, I was pretty pumped about it. And I couldn't even see it. My playing partner was in front. He was right there on the fringe.
Yeah.
And he was just like, it's going. And got it done. So
there you go. You play with my good friend Chuck Jordan, a legend in Athens. Chuck was Georgia Tech grad who's now living in the heart of Athens in Five Points, loves the dogs as well. So as we talked about weekly, Jake, that game on the Friday after Thanksgiving is going to be epic.
Yes.
Without question. Tech still undefeated, ranked 7th. The dogs, of course, just ahead of them. And only one loss to Alabama. So,
I saw UGA legend John Lastinger.
Oh yeah,
on the course today. So
of course you did,
man. I just
look
just
at you
getting around today. I don't know what it was. Something was in the air. Maybe it was.
I love it. Something is in the air. Let me tell you what's in the air. Winners are in the air. This episode of Punt and Pass presented to you by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks. Yes, the DB three piece absolutely smacked last weekend. Go ahead and throw it up one time, Jared. We'll show it to you again. But yes, I told you,
Taylor,
$50, paid you $162.50. Chauncey Bowens, Keelan Lacey, Joey Aguilar, they all came home. The DB3 piece cashed. Thank you so much, Jared. I need to brag on those every time I can. You can get in on the action too. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. When you put your first $5 entry, win or lose, you instantly get $50. And it's the sports equinox right now. All four major leagues of sports are back. NBA just started. NHL hockey's going. The World Series is here. NFL football, college football. There's so much action. Prize Picks has it all. I logged in today. And yep, there's another free to play contest in the NFL this weekend. You can win up to $1 million. Prize Picks is the best. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. When you play your first $5 entry, you get $50 instantly. Tell a family member, tell a friend. Check them out at Prize Picks on social media, prizepicks.com. And this episode of Punt and Pass is brought to you by Umberto Injury Law. If you've been hurt in an accident and need a team that fights for you like we fight on the field, Umberto Injury Law is here for you. Umberto and his team know what it takes to win, and they'll stand by your side every step of the way. Visit UmbertoInjuryLaw.com to learn more or call them at 770-888-8901. 770-888-8901. Umberto and his team are the best personal injury attorneys and worker comp attorneys in Atlanta, always available for you. UmbertoInjuryLaw.com. So the Dogs got a big win. We talked about it a lot on this week's earlier episode against Ole Miss in prime time on ABC. Gunnar Stockton, man, he racked up the individual awards this week. SEC Offensive Player of the Week. I think he was the Maxwell Award Player of the Week. Davey O'Brien, all the awards. He got them all, and for good reason. Now the Dogs are heading into a bye week, Jake. I always ask you questions about the bye week because I was a punter, you were a quarterback. Bye weeks are, I feel like, much more earned for you, so to speak. I'm gonna get your mind out.
Hey, even I don't feel that way all the time. Look, I mean, I'm looking around at guys. You take my roommate, for example, Charlie Warner, right? Tight end, grinding in the trenches.
Grinding.
He has to run like a receiver, but he's got to block like the big boys. I always felt bad, you know, and those guys needed it. They needed that week off, take it off their legs, get the body right. And speaking of the bye week, for this team, I mean, talking to Gunnar last week after the game, I mean, that oblique's kind of a big deal, and you know, you need to get that right. And it just, the bye week's hitting at a good time, it seems, for this team to get right and to get healthy.
Okay, so I always ask you, like, what do you do during the bye week? We have a clip from Kirby Smart because he was asked about it, and I want everybody to listen because when I heard this, the last thing he says, you know, you forget about it, and you're like, wow, that's interesting to think about. Go ahead and roll it, Jared.
Excited to get back to work today. We had the guys in yesterday and got to put the game to bed, and also got to work with some young players, try to watch a lot of tape and move forward. Big week for us to do a couple things. Number one, get better. Number two, get healthier. And number three, keep improving in areas that we definitely need to. So it's good to be at this week of the season, but looking forward, you know, there's potentially, there's definitely five more weeks, and then there's possibly six, possibly 10 more games. So it could be 10 more games moving forward. It could be five games moving forward. Who knows? But we got to prepare for that this week, and we'll take that on in a very organized fashion, which we've already begun as a staff.
All right, so I totally forgot about that. I mean, you're thinking about it, you're like, okay, you know, six games, SEC championship. You could play 10 more football games. Getting healthy is imperative. You have to be able to utilize the bye weeks. I like what he said. Hey, we're repping these young guys. You know, we got in, we put the Ole Miss game behind us. Of course, everybody's in the therapy room doing the cold tub sauna, making sure that you get off your feet, try to get healthy any way you can. But think about that. If all goes as planned, Jake, you could have 10 more football games left. It's not even Halloween.
That is crazy to think about, of just how volatile that part of the season could be. Obviously, it's a good problem to have, right? You want that problem to have an opportunity to play 10 more games, but that's a lot on your mindset. Hey, where are we at? This is a marathon, not a sprint, but it's also, I got a sprint to even get maybe to the marathon part. So it's a tough place to be, man. I just get as healthy as you can. Feel as good as you can, and just week to week, baby. Win your battles week to week, and just keep marching on. And I for me, it's especially, Drew, you know, when it comes to the league, you kind of break the season down in chunks, right? It's really easy to break the NFL season into quarters, right? Hey, just let's win more than we lose in this quarter, and keep moving on. I mean, you kind of have to play this chunk of like, hey, we're gonna go from Florida, hopefully to the SEC championship, and then we're going to, you know, get a week off and regroup and go from there. So that's where my mindset would be if I'm a player for this team right now.
Yeah, I don't think they probably are thinking in that fashion. Like, now's the stretch, and I feel like having played in this schedule, as you have, Jake, from Florida to the SEC championship game, that was always a block where you just knew, and especially more so with divisions back when, you knew that was your opportunity and that was going to be your chance to make it to Atlanta. Then once you get to Atlanta, you kind of reset for that 1 week.
Yeah, all hands on deck.
And it's either made or broken right in that spot. But I wanted to ask you, you know, seeing what happened last year with Georgia, you win the SEC championship, you get the bye, you go automatic bid into the Sugar Bowl. You're kind of waiting around to see who you play. The SEC is chaotic. It's going to be even more chaotic. Georgia may or may not make the SEC championship game. That may or may not be in their own control. What would you rather do having done it one way a year ago? Would you rather play a home game, right, and get the bye week during SEC championship game week and bring, you know, a Tulane into Athens or I don't even know who else, Miami, if they don't go to the ACC championship, Miami and Athens,
come on,
Carson Beck back in Athens. Like that's where my head's going when Kirby Smart's talking about, hey, we got potential, certainly five more games, potentially six more games. If all goes well, 10 more games. Where would you rather have that bye week?
Man, that is so tough. I the only thing I don't like about the college football playoff structure is because we're having this conversation. It's like, well, would you rather not even play for an SEC? Like,
I know it's crazy.
Back in the day, and you know it, and I know it, man. An SEC championship, I mean, that was the thing. That's what you wanted to win. It just meant a ton to win that conference, and it's just kind of making it not as much of a big deal anymore. You know, because you can kind of slide past it.
Yeah.
It's the same amount of games. It's just when is the bye week, and then you get a home playoff game.
Don't have to travel, creature comforts. You're at home.
Students
aren't on campus, so you're kind of back into the swing of things as, you know, bowl practice that as we used to do.
Yep.
But you bring up a great point about the conference championship games no longer being what they used to be. And we've only done one season of this new 12-team playoff. And look at just last year. Georgia won the SEC championship game, and I feel like nobody even talks about it. You have to remind yourself that they were SEC champions last year. When that used to be, you know, SEC and the national champions, like that was it. You were so close to the mountaintop. Georgia won the SEC championship game last year. They beat Texas. Gunnar Stockton came in the game in the second half. It was miraculous. Yet nobody even talks about it. That's crazy to me.
I mean, you got to.
Nobody talks about it, Jay.
It's unbelievable because you can win an SEC championship and then still have to play three more games in order to win a national championship.
Yeah.
Or you can play in that game and lose. and still be in a position to host a playoff game and then have to play four. So it's unbelievable. It really
one is. Thing that definitely needs to change with the new era of college football, and I forget which coach came out and said this. It might have been Mario Cristobal at Miami. The Heisman Trophy voting needs to be done like
later.
Way later. I mean, there's so much football. Like Kirby just said, hey, we can have 10 more games left. You're going to give out the best player of the year award when there's still five games left to play. I mean, that's just insane. We got to fix that. We've got to fix that. So
I mean, something that could happen. There's a decent statistic that this could happen, right? You could give the Heisman to Fernando Mendoza or Diego Pavia, right, throughout the regular season.
Yeah.
And hey, Gunner may ball out in the playoffs, right? Had a pretty good year all the way through, but if he balls out in this playoff, I mean, like, how is he not in that conversation? So just something that could happen, you know?
I totally, totally agree. So Kirby Smart talked about, hey, we need to get better. We need to get healthier. He kind of dove a little bit deeper on what Georgia needs to get better on. He was asked a question by a media member. He answers it. And Jake, I have a question for you after this cut. Jared, go ahead and roll it.
Coach, when you talk about improvements, and I guess the list is maybe a little bit extensive when you're talking about the defensive side, but what are the main areas there on defense you're looking to improve, and how are you going to try to take this off week to try to address that?
Yeah, I'll be honest. It's just as many offensive and defensive and special teams. I know for the outside world looking in, it's easy to say, well, you don't punt and then you don't stop anybody for 90% of the game. You can point a lot of fingers, but you can go a week before that and a week before that, and there's issues in both areas. I mean, you know, at Auburn, we had our issues really on both sides of the ball, and, you know, we're not a – complete product. We have a long way to go to get where we need to go, but we know who we are. We know what we need to work on. We know what we need to improve on. And contrary to a lot of people's belief, it's not necessarily some of the areas that people believe. It's different areas, and we know what they are. And like I said, you know, after the Alabama game, I found out a lot more about our team in that game and the games to follow. It's just trying to improve in certain areas and get incrementally better.
Okay, so one, I want to give you a shout-out, Jake, because you've said for the last 3 weeks, Georgia knows who they are now, and you can tell that with the style of offense that they're playing specifically. But then the next question is what Kirby said at the end there. Hey, contrary to popular belief, you know, like the average fan might be watching and saying Georgia needs to improve on X, Y, and Z. However, we know what we need to improve on, and it's not those things. What are those areas? I mean, me, I would say, I don't know, like short yardage offensive situations, maybe 2-point conversion. I don't know. I've been trying to rack my brain on this. Do you have any specifics as to what you believe Georgia might need to be working on or improving on in the bye week?
Yeah, if I was a head coach, I'd definitely be working on my punt team this week because they didn't get any work last week, right? No punts. So that was a nice, easy layup. I would be working at the point of attack, I would think, for the defensive line.
Yeah.
Hey, how can we stop the run, and then how can we transition and get to the quarterback? You know, from a scheme perspective, how can they dial things up to get pressure? There are things that have shown up throughout the season, right? We've talked about this gap, this play action gap pass that's gutted the defense a little bit throughout the season. So that's what I'll be working on. I think for Gunner and for the offense, I just continuing to throw the ball, this having a splash and getting the tight ends involved was a good wrinkle. Hey, let's build on that. Hey, how can we get these guys involved? Looks like they got some juice going. And then how are we feeling, filling the shoes of Colby Young, who's no longer going to be playing the rest of the year. So that's kind of a big deal. Who's going to step up? Let's get Noah Thomas as many reps as possible and get the rapport between him and Gunner going pretty well. So that's kind of what I see.
It's a great answer by you. I want to give you props there. Do you think with the tight end seemingly getting more involved, that could present more opportunities for Zachariah Branch? I think he should get more touches too.
I mean, that's a guy, if I'm calling plays, you know, installing plays, especially at the beginning of the game, right? I gotta have a whole separate block on my call sheet, right? With number one beside it. Hey, these are plays designed to get this guy the ball and get him involved. And I know over the course of that first quarter, whether it's first drive, second drive, I have to find a way to get him involved and get him going because he's just a difference maker and a dynamic playmaker. He could take it to the house at any given time.
So any given time.
You have to give him the ball and give him some confidence in that game because I've seen you could have an awesome guy and they have a great plan and all these good things. But if you don't kind of get your guy going at the beginning of the game, sometimes, man, they can kind of disappear. And it's just because it's a flow of the game and it's a lot of that basketball feel kind of leaking into the game of football.
You're totally right. I mean, but I 100% agree with you. Defense has got to find a way to win the point of attack, pressure the quarterback, affect the quarterback. That's got to be number one heading into the second half of the season. I had a couple more things here, but I think we should move on. A couple other news and notes. One, this was on College Game Day on Saturday. I think the quote came out maybe earlier this week, but Nick Saban has put his foot down, sticking up for his coaching brethren, which does not surprise me. But he says pay for play and or NIL, Jake, is directly correlated to the midseason high profile coach firings. This is what Coach Saban said, quote, "You know, I'm not surprised because everybody's raising money to pay players. So the people that are giving the money think they have a voice and they're just like a bunch of fans. When they get frustrated and disappointed, they put the pressure on the athletic directors to take action. And it's the way of the world." He further discusses, quote, "It's unfair as hell talking to James Franklin for you to go to the Rose Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, get to the Final Four of the CFP, come out being ranked number two this year, an expectation that you, James Franklin, created by what you accomplished at Penn State And for those people not to show enough appreciation for that and gratitude for all the hard work that you did, I'm saying it's unfair, end quote, by the GOAT, Nick Saban. He's got a point. Now, do you really think that Mike Gundy, Billy Napier, James Franklin, Sam Pittman, Brent Key at Virginia Tech, Deshaun Foster at UCLA, I mean, it just continues to go. Do you really think that the majority of those decisions were made by boosters who are funneling NIL dollars to the athletic department, calling the AD being like, you need to make a change or else, you know, this spigot's being turned off? I don't know. I can promise you that it helps. It certainly does help if you got a fat buyout and the AD's like, no chance we're paying this. And 5, 10, 15 boosters pull together and say, we'll pay it, get rid of them. That could certainly speed up the process, Jake.
Yeah. You know, I'm just kind of thinking of the parallels, the similarities and the differences between college football now and the NFL. You know, NFL being a longer season, and there's a not that it's a ton, but there is a little bit more patience, I think, when it comes to the NFL head coaching world and letting him get his guys in there, get his coaches in there, develop his culture. But when it comes to college football, it's a shorter season. There is a quicker return on investment expected. And I think that's because of player contracts and basically just being one-year deals. And, you know, if you were signing guys to 2-3 year deals, you'd give that guy a chance to develop. But, you know, you also got to think about, like you're talking about, the athletic director and the boosters and then NFL ownership, right? NFL ownership generally is just, you know, one guy calling the shots. And he can kind of, he's like, no, I don't want to spend all this for one guy. I'm going to let him coach this thing out for a little while and let's see. Or, you know, and college football, the AD, he's getting a mouthful from boosters, and yeah, you know, it could get heated, I think, very, very quickly. And it's just, I don't think it's completely fair, but these guys are getting compensated very well.
Yes, they are.
And it's just what you sign up for. I don't think it's all fair, but man, you know what you're signing up for, and you're going to get paid a lot of money to sit at the house and play golf.
Yeah. I mean, look, Nick Saban's going to stick up for coaches, like, yeah, newsflash. Of course he's going to say that. Hey, it's unfair. I mean, the guy's got gobsmacking amounts of money. I'm one of the people that thinks Nick Saban was underpaid. Yes, that's correct. Underpaid for what he did for the University of Alabama. That whole entire university 20x'd in value, more than that, since Nick Saban became head coach there. So, yes, he was underpaid. I can promise you that. I've got nothing but respect for Nick Saban, but it's just the reality of the game of college football now. And, Jake, you said it best. These guys know what they sign up for. So, we'll see. There's definitely more that are coming down the pike. I mean, this is going to be an absolutely crazy coaching carousel, as we've continued to say week after week. All right, last piece of news here. Texas A&M was fined $50,000 by the SEC for a player faking an injury against Arkansas. Wow. Okay. So Texas A&M won 45-42 against Arkansas. I believe the player took a knee close to the end zone or either in the end zone. I'm sure the Arkansas officials said that doesn't look right. They sent it into the SEC officials' office after review, kind of understanding the flow of the game. You take that wide angle of the all 22. I'm sure you can see some coaches telling him to go down. He goes down. Boom, Jake. They get slapped with a $50,000 fine. Pretty interesting here. I'd like to see more of this.
Yeah, I would like to see more of it too, because it's absolutely Bush League. As an offensive guy, from an offensive perspective, man, like, when we get rolling down the field and seeing a guy on the ground, I mean, even back in the day, you're like, man, odds are 50-50, probably, yeah, more than that, that this guy, yep, just got told to go down. He's faking it, and they're just trying to slow us down. So very frustrating from a quarterback perspective when you're rolling as an offense and you have the defense on their heels, that they could just go down and all of a sudden it's a timeout and, you know, there's just not a whole lot of ramifications for it, which is why I'm all for, hey, let's check this thing out and let's see, is this guy actually hurt? No, actually there was a non-contact deal and everybody on the sidelines pointing going down, and then he, yeah, goes down and he comes back in two plays later. Like, man, come on.
Exactly.
That's Bush League. We can't have that. You know, you can talk about sportsmanship and all that. Yes, but I mean, to me, it's just it's Bush League, and I don't like it. So get it out of the game.
Get it out of the game. The conference's policy on feigning injuries was first established in 2022. Last month, the ACC issued a $25,000 fine and a public reprimand to Syracuse for faking an injury during its 34-21 win over Clemson. So the fines are rolling out. SEC's taking a stand. I don't dislike it. That's a fact. All right, here's the piece of breaking news that I'm trying to decipher if it is official or not. It's being broken by yellowhammernews.com. And on X, Yellowhammer News is a verified account. Not that that means anything now. They've got over 30,000
followers. Means they pay for it.
Exactly. But they're saying veteran SEC official Ken Williamson has been permanently suspended from officiating conference games, sources tell Yellowhammer News. The decision to remove the longtime referee comes in the immediate wake of an SEC review of 11 complaints against Williamson and his crew during the Auburn-Georgia game earlier this month. According to sources, 9 of those complaints were validated by conference officials. Yellowhammer News' request for comment from the SEC went unreturned on Tuesday. All right, so I don't know if this is true or not. You know me, Jake. Look, if there were 11 complaints in one game and 9 were upheld by officials who are grading these referee crews,
that's kind of a big deal.
Man. You got to do your job. You have to do your job better. You have to do your job better. There are repercussions across the entire game of football, and I've been saying it for 10 years now on this very podcast. Officials are the only ones who don't have any hardline repercussions. Hopefully, it's starting to change. Look, sorry, Ken Williamson. I'm sorry. Hey, guess what? I got cut, too. All right? I got cut, too, and it sucks. It's not fun. If you don't perform at your job and you're in the game of football, you're out. So he's out. I'm sorry. Got to be better.
What about open? What about opening up the refs to a press conference after the game?
That'd be great. That make them face the music. Like how is that considered a bad thing? And you know what? Keep it between like one third party person with a microphone. So a referee or an official doesn't have to go in front of an entire gaggle of media press who one side's frothing at the mouth and the other side is happy that it happened. You know, get some approved questions that one person can go in there and ask with a microphone and the ref just has to explain himself. There is a very simple solution here, Jake.
I mean, I think that would be pretty cool from a fan experience of getting the ins and outs of the football rule book and getting someone with a ton of knowledge on it to explain it. I mean, I've been on the sideline and listening to a ton of conversations with referees and getting those guys to explain why they called it a certain way or why they're doing this. I mean, it is some cool stuff to hear because it's kind of like an insurance policy, right? Nobody reads your insurance policy. Nobody reads the football rule book. They just know the rules, but nobody sat down and read the whole thing. And that's kind of the way it is with referees.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So I do need to say, first off, my opinions and my feelings, those are valid. We'll see if that report's true or not. So maybe I overstepped my boundaries by giving such an impassioned response for something that has not been confirmed. But of course, we'll keep it up to date right here. Hey, this episode of Punt Pass presented to you by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks. That's right. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT, P-U-N-T, PUNT, and you can get $50 instantly in your account when you play your first $5 entry. There's no better time than now. All four major sports leagues are in action. So is college football, obviously. And guess what? Free-to-play contest is back this weekend. You can win your share of up to $1 million, and it's free to play. Download the PrizePicks app. Use the promo code PUNT. First $5 entry, you get $50 instantly. The DB3 piece hit last week. It smacked. Yeah, it did. I think that's our third that we've hit. Jared, go ahead and pull it up. It was greens all the way around. Thank you. Chauncey Bowens, yes. Kewan Lacy, yes. Joey Aguilar, yes. Kept it in the SEC. Did what I know. $50 paid out, $162.50. Let's go back to back. Here is the week 9 DB3 piece. Get in now. When you hear it, pull up the app. Download the app. Promo code PUNT. You know the drill. Trinidad Chambliss, Ole Miss quarterback, more than a half a passing touchdown. This dude is a baller, okay? Ole Miss is playing against Oklahoma this weekend. There should be some fireworks in this one. Trinidad Chambliss, Ole Miss quarterback, more than a half a passing touchdown. All right, staying in the SEC, the 3:30 game, top 15 matchup between Missouri and Vanderbilt. I'm fired up for this one. Mizzou's kicker, he had a good game last week. They, of course, beat Auburn in double overtime. Robert Meyer, Missouri kicker, more than a half a field goal. He's kicking one field goal in this game.
Yeah.
Vandy's defense is pretty stout. They held Alabama to a lot of field goals as well. Mizzou's kicker, more than a half a field goal made. And look who's getting back into the mix. Ryan Williams is definitely starting to click with Ty Simpson. He gets in the end zone this week against South Carolina. Ryan Williams, Alabama receiver, more than a half a receiving touchdown. I need three people to do one thing each. Trinidad Chambliss, Ole Miss quarterback, more than a half a passing touchdown. Robert Meyer, Missouri kicker, more than a half a field goal made. Ryan Williams, Alabama wide receiver, more than a half a receiving touchdown. $50 entry, you will win $212.50. That's the DB3 piece.
Shout out to
Prize Picks. Hey, every week we talk about the big hits in football. Off the field, Umberto Injury Law is the team that protects you and life hits hard. If you've been injured, Umberto and his team break down every detail and fight for the best result. They've done it for me. They can do it for you. Visit UmbertoInjuryLaw.com and let them go to work for you or call them 770-888-8901. 770-888-8901, available 24/7. Umberto and his team are the best personal injury and workers' comp attorneys in Atlanta. They are the best. Shout out to mi amigo Umberto, UmbertoInjuryLaw.com. All right, let's go inside the five. We got five really good games. I mean, the only ranked-on-ranked action this week is in the SEC. That's why we love the SEC, Jake Fromm. But noon on ABC, number 8 Ole Miss, who just took their licks against Georgia, heads to Norman, Oklahoma to take on 13th-ranked Oklahoma Sooners. Kickoffs at noon, as I just said. ABC on your televisions. Oklahoma, a 5.5-point favorite. The total here is 53.5 points. Can Ole Miss get up off the mat, Jake Fromm?
Ole Miss can 100% certainly get up off the mat. I like Ole Miss in this one. I like them to respond. I think Lane's got something to prove. I think he really, you know, we talk about Lane. Is he going to end up at Florida, be the next head coach at Florida? I think he's just got something to prove for whatever reason at Ole Miss. And I think he really wants to get it done. He's got a good football team. I mean, that Georgia Ole Miss game, it was just, hey, whoever made the mistake first and they just happened to not convert on, you know, one or two third downs, and that's what got them in that game. But man, they're rolling. Trinidad Chambliss, excellent quarterback. Keewan Lacy, they have it going on offense. John Mateer kind of still figuring out coming off this injury that he has. And I just think Ole Miss, just in the response mode that they'll be in, wins this football game.
What's your gut feeling say about Lane Kiffin to Florida? Is that happening or no? Seems like there's a big, it seems like a lot of people close to the program feel like that's the one they're going to go after and make him an offer where he can't say no.
I think so.
I do.
I mean, he's either going to Florida or he's going to get one heck of an extension. And because it's a quote unquote better job, a ton of money.
Resources.
Yeah, resources. And I think he can actually win a national championship there at Florida.
All right.
And, you know, you talk about recruiting and proximity and all those things. And yeah, I just think he can get it done there at Florida.
Here's what I think about this game specifically. This is the game where Ole Miss can prove to themselves and to everybody else that they are a real football team. Can you get up off the mat? Everything in your season is still ahead of you. Yeah. Every single thing that you want to accomplish this season is still ahead of you. Do they have the leadership in the locker room? Do they have the leadership on the coaching staff to say, hey, let's go again on the road. We were just in Athens. Now we got to go to Norman. It's an early kickoff, 11 a.m. local time. It's a top 15 opponent. Can we do what we did? Because their offense just disappeared in the fourth quarter, or else you can make the easy argument they were going to win that football game last week. I like Ole Miss as well. I think this is a prove-it game for the Rebels. 5.5 points. Give me a break. That's too many. I will take Ole Miss in that game also.
Hey,
go ahead.
Before we move on, I do want to talk about Oklahoma here.
Yeah, please.
Because I think Oklahoma here in the SEC is very important to talk about, especially with the schedule that they have remaining, because Oklahoma is going to decide who is playing in the SEC championship, right? So Oklahoma, this is their games remaining. They play Ole Miss, then Tennessee, then Alabama, then Missouri, and then LSU.
Wow.
I mean, they're playing some dogs here in the SEC that are all up in that top tier bracket of having a chance to punch their way into the SEC championship. You know, they've already played Texas. Oklahoma this year, for whatever reason, the way the schedule has worked out, is going to decide who gets in the SEC championship. And it could be themselves, but that is one heck of a stretch that they're playing all ranked SEC teams moving on into the home stretch. So that is a tough, tough deal for the Oklahoma Sooners.
You are exactly right. You know, again, it's only up to the teams that are playing the games. You either got to win them and work your way into an SEC championship, or else you ain't playing, and you're not going to be playing in the playoff either. So brutal schedule. Ole Miss at Tennessee, by at Alabama, home versus Mizzou, home versus LSU. Good luck to Oklahoma. Jake and I both like Ole Miss this weekend. 3:30 on ABC, number 4 Alabama at South Carolina. Alabama's a 12.5-point favorite. The total here is 47.5. Man, South Carolina, this season falling off the wheels. I don't think many really expected that. Shane Beamer's name's floating around. Is he going to go to Virginia Tech? Will he get fired? What happened to Lenore Sellers? Where was the team with all that juice at the end of last season? You know, it's just not good. I'll give Shane Beamer a lot of credit. He's going up to the media just about after every game and saying, hey, this is my fault. You know, we're not happy with the results that we're getting. We're better than this. Our fans deserve better. So at least he has the awareness to know that. But on the flip side, Jake, Alabama right now is rolling. Ty Simpson is balling. Ryan Williams seems back. Their defense is flying around. 12.5 is a lot of points, though. What do you think?
See, I could totally play this argument in my head on both sides. Yes, Alabama's rolling. Yes, Bama's looking like Bama. Ty Simpson's balling. He's got guys to throw the ball to. If their run defense can just be a little bit better, if at all, I mean, they are a national championship contending football team.
Oh, yeah.
But this is kind of getting into the basketball realm, bringing basketball up again. South Carolina with Lenore Sellers. Like, that's one guy that can take over a football game. Playing in South Carolina, in Columbia, is a tough place to play. 3:30. I mean, the place is going to be rocking.
Yeah.
South Carolina, with the points, give me South Carolina. I think this is going to be a tougher game than people think. Alabama to win.
I would agree with that.
But give me South Carolina with the points.
I could definitely agree with that. Here's the thing. It's a tough spot for Alabama because I don't know if they were the first team in SEC history or the first team in college football history. They won 4 straight games against ranked opponents. Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Tennessee, right? And, of course, South Carolina, you would have expected them to be ranked, but their season's not gone the way it has. So they're at South Carolina. They have a bye next week. So could this be a look-ahead spot? Like, let's just go. Let's take care of business. Then we got the bye week. Then we'll get ready for LSU. I don't know. I think Lenore Sellers can ball out as well. I think he can keep this one close. Maybe a turnover here or there that South Carolina can create to make it a little bit interesting. Alabama's going to win the game. South Carolina will keep it close. All right, I love this game, the other 3:30 game. 15th-ranked Missouri at 10th-ranked Vanderbilt. 10th-ranked Vanderbilt. 3:30 on ESPN. Vandy's a 2.5-point favorite. The total here, 51.5. College game day will be there in Nashville. Wow. Can you imagine?
Can they do it again?
Vanderbilt. Can they do it again?
It just doesn't sound right. You know, you got Vandy ranked top 10. Is Tech a top 10 team right now?
Tech is ranked 7th, my man.
I mean, what's going on with college football? Look, look, if I'm a fan at any of these kind of small mid-tier schools, you have a chance, right? Vandy, back on the map. You're one coach, one quarterback, a good recruiting class away from competing and having a chance to get into the college football playoff. I don't think Vandy can continue the juice. I think they run out. Missouri's a good football team, playing with a ton of physicality. And I just don't think Vandy can just do it again back-to-back-to-back weeks. You know, they played Alabama. They lost to Alabama, beat LSU. Man, this is just – I think this is just a little bit too much for them. Give me Missouri to win in this one.
Okay. Yes, the remaining undefeated teams in college football right now, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia Tech, BYU, and Navy. Those are the remaining undefeated teams in college football at the moment. But Vanderbilt, I like Vandy. I'm rolling with Vandy. Home game. Missouri is good. Bo Prabula is good. Man, Damon Wilson, transfer from Georgia, he's a baller. They got some studs all across the field. They went into the transfer portal hard. It seems to be working in a big way. You know what? I'm going to switch that. I'm going with Missouri. They got a bye week next week. Okay.
Yeah.
I just think more dudes. This just comes down
to more dudes. It's a dude game.
And I like what Clark Lee said, the head coach of Vanderbilt. Hey, don't get it twisted. We are changing the narrative. This is not your old Vanderbilt. We're not a doormat anymore. We're here to play. But unfamiliar spot for them. Game day in Nashville. I think too many distractions. I think Drinkwitz can scheme up some offense for Mizzou. I'll take Missouri with the 2.5 points against Vanderbilt. All right, the night game is in Baton Rouge. Third-ranked Texas A&M at 20th-ranked LSU, 7:30 p.m. on ABC. Texas A&M's a 2.5-point favorite, the total here, 48.5. Can A&M keep it rolling, the third-ranked team in the country?
Give me A&M, man. LSU's falling off the rails, lost to Vandy, and that win against Clemson just isn't looking as good anymore. Yeah. I don't know what the disconnect is. I've never necessarily been a huge Brian Kelly guy, and I just think the Brian Kelly experiment's kind of dwindling.
Wow.
I'm not saying he's getting fired by any means, but if he loses this one and another one, you know, LSU plays A&M, then Bama. Arkansas always plays LSU tight, Western Kentucky, and then Oklahoma. I mean, that they could easily win two more games or easily lose two more games. I mean, that's a tough spot to be. BK, does he get fired and then take the Penn State job as the number two or three option up there? I don't know. Goodness.
You're crazy. Texas A&M's last win in Baton Rouge was 1994. Since then, 6 straight losses, 0-5-1 against the spread. In the last 4 meetings, and 3 of the last 4 have gone over the total. The total is 48.5. I like A&M too, man. A&M's good. I'm going to roll with the Aggies on the road. And then last game, quickly, Jake, Syracuse at 7th-ranked Georgia Tech. Tech is a 17.5-point favorite. This game's at noon on ESPN. The total is 52.5. Fran Brown chirping a little bit. You know, he's a former Georgia coach, and he said we'll find out who the real coaches are in this matchup. So, I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a hard chirp right there.
Oh, yeah.
Give me Tech to win, but give me Syracuse here with the points. Yeah. I just think it's too many, and Tech's not a blow it out team like that.
That's right.
They're a grinded out, gritty team. But I do think they win this football game.
All right. I'm in the exact same boat as you. Tech wins. Syracuse keeps it close. They're a gritty team. They'll come down here and make it interesting. Thanks so much for tuning in. This episode of Punt and Pass presented to you by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks. The free-to-play contest is back this weekend. Download the Prize Picks app, use the promo code PUNT, and when you do that, you play your first $5 entry, you get $50 instantly. The free-to-play is free to play. You can win a share up to $1 million. Follow Prize Picks at Prize Picks on social media, prizepicks.com. Tail the DB3 piece. It'll be up on social media later on this week. And remember, Umberto Injury Law is your first call when accidents happen. Don't wait. Visit UmbertoInjuryLaw.com today. Umberto Injury Law, protecting people, fighting for justice, winning results. You don't owe a thing until he wins for you. He won for me. He can do it for you as well. I'm telling you, he is the best personal injury and workers' comp attorney in Atlanta. 770-888-8901. 770-888-8901 on BertoInjuryLaw.com. Follow us on social media at Drew Butler, at From Jake, at Punt and Pass. YouTube's popping off as well. Thanks to our awesome producer, Jared. He's doing great. So subscribe over on YouTube. And if you're in Atlanta, thanks for watching us on TV. Jake, anything on the way up, my man?
No, man. It's going to be weird with the dogs not playing, but yeah. Great opportunity to watch some other guys in the SEC play some good ball. Great games. It's going to be fun to watch.
All right. We will talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. See you.
We out.